Whaley's men had worked up a sweat in the hot Mexican sun. Delgado watched patiently until the last gold bar was situated carefully. Whaley came out of the cantina to examine the work, half-full beer glass still in his hand. The saddles and packs remained on the horses in the pen.
Well, Señor Whaley, are you satisfied?
Yes, it's all there, boss. None of it's missing.
Then I'm satisfied.
And so am I. It is time.
Soldiers suddenly appeared on the street, on the rooftops of the few buildings in town, and from behind the prison wagon. Whaley's gang members, tired from the physical labor, were confused at first as the soldiers made a circle around them.
What is this?
Delgado leaned against the wagon.
I have given great thought to the situation. You have broken laws of your country, which is no concern of mine. But you have also broken many laws of my country, and I am sworn, after all, to uphold those laws.
I don't like the drift of your talk.
You are in this country illegally, of course. You have also attempted to bribe a federal officer. You are in possession of stolen property. I'm sure there are other laws that you have violated. I have no choice, therefore, but to place you and all of your men under arrest, and to confiscate the gold as evidence.
Why, you no good double-dealing!
Whaley threw his glass at Delgado and pulled his gun with the same motion. His men took the same cue. The soldiers shot, but either the guns were inaccurate or their aims were off, and most of the shots missed. One of Whaley's shots hit its mark, and a Mexican soldier fell to the ground. Whaley jumped the fence to the small corral adjoining the cantina and grabbed his horse. Others followed him, shooting at random into the pack of soldiers. Whaley's men furthest from the corral were not so lucky, as dozens of soldiers jumped on them and beat them to the ground.
Yeah, yeah!
Whaley spurred his horse and broke through the corral fence. He rode through the mass of men next to the prison wagon, followed by his men that were able to also grab a horse. Those not able to reach the corral in time were left behind. Whaley shot one final time at Delgado, who slipped behind the wagon at the last second. The shot hit the wagon and bounced off one of the metal bars. The soldiers fired at Whaley's gang, but they were already out of range. In the locked shed, Matt and Sam watched the shooting through the cracks in the shuttered windows.
Yeah, big surprise for Whaley. Now let's give Delgado a surprise.
He jumped up, tested the metal plow hanging from the wall.
It's not as sharp as a knife, but it'll do.
With his hands now free, he loosened Sam's bonds.
Now for some weapons. How are you with that shovel?
It'll let me clean up some of the dirt outside, if we can get the jump on him.
This axe handle will work for me until we get some guns back. There's still horses in the corral. We can grab a couple, get away, then come back for the gold. We'll worry about the Whaley gang when the time comes.
Good plan.
Matt was already at the side door, pushing the shovel blade into the crack between the door and its frame.
This old shed wasn't built for security. Shouldn't take much to pry this loose.
Sam found a metal rod and inserted it in the bottom of the door and pried along with Matt. Matt pulled out the pieces of wood, tossed them to one side, and pushed open the door with his foot. The entrance was on the side of the building away from the street, and no guards had been posted. The two slipped out quietly, unnoticed in the noisy confusion going on across the road.
Don't worry about Whaley. We have the gold. That's the most important thing. Put the prisoners in the wagon.
The members of Whaley's gang that had been captured continued to struggle, though they were outnumbered. Some blows with rifle butts finally quieted them down, though they remained conscious.
I'm going to the roof. Get the drop on them.
Oh, yeah. Take the high ground again.
Some of us are just destined for great heights. You can just jump in when the time looks right.
The adobe shed wasn't very high. Matt leaped and grabbed the roof, pulled himself up the rest of the way, taking his shovel with him. Below him, on the other side, the soldiers were bunched up around the prisoners, pushing them into the wagon. Dust filled the air while some of the men tried to put the horses back in the corral and to repair the damage. Matt took a breath and leaped, landing right in the middle of the soldiers. Sam was suddenly also in the middle of the group. He seemed to be everywhere. He hit one soldier in the stomach with the end of the axe handle, doubling him up with pain. Sam pivoted, hit another soldier in the face, and kicked away the first soldier. It took a few seconds for the remaining soldiers to realize what was happening. One tried to pull a gun. Matt's shovel came down hard, knocking the gun out of the soldier's hand, though it was unfortunately also out of Matt's reach. The soldiers tried to move in on Sam, to overpower him as they earlier had the members of the Whaley gang, but Sam was ready for it. He swung his axe handle in a wide circle over his head and around him. The wood hit glancing blows off several of the attackers, leaving blood and torn flesh in its place. The assailants backed off. Sam knew, however, that was only a temporary reprieve. If they had enough space, they could use their guns and take him out easily. He needed a gun. The entire fight so far had taken only seconds. Delgado watched in surprise. He had not considered the two Americans a serious threat, so he had not taken enough precautions to secure them. Even so, he was amazed that they had already escaped and were making jokes out of his men. He reached down to his belt, felt the guns taken earlier from Matt and Sam. They were state-of-the-art weaponry, the best money could buy, and in excellent shape. He had decided to keep them for himself. It amused him to think that the Americans could be killed with their own guns. Delgado reached for the weapons. Matt spotted Delgado around the side of the wagon, safely out of the fracas, and the movement of his hands toward the guns and his belt. Matt knew his gun like he knew his own hands, since it was almost a part of him. He figured that the other gun was Sam's. Sam was clearing a large area around him as Mexican soldiers lay stunned or bleeding on the ground, and the ones still standing were backing away.
Sam, I'm coming through!
Sam raised his axe handle in a higher arc. Matt dived, rolled safely beneath the swinging weapon, holding the shovel close to his body. On the other side of his blood brother, Matt reached out with the shovel, shoved it between Delgado's legs, and then rammed it straight up. Matt twisted the handle, causing Delgado to lose his balance. Sam jumped in, striking the Mexican across the chest and knocking him backward. Matt plucked the guns from Delgado's hands and tossed Sam's gun to him. He fired at a soldier rushing him. The bullet hit with a solid smack, stopping him in his tracks. Sam leaped over him and grabbed his horse. He looked into the swirling group of horses, found Matt's, and grabbed the reins. Delgado looked up at Matt from his position on the ground with hatred in his eyes.
It was so nice of you to invite us for a visit. Too bad we can't stay. Maybe another time.
In another instant, he was on the back of his horse. He and Sam were then racing out of town, the other horses in the corral following them in a large cloud of dust. It took several minutes for the dust to clear and for Delgado to stop hurting, and when he was finally able to stand, he was amazed at the wreck that Matt and Sam had left behind. Many of his men remained on the ground where they had fallen. Only a few horses were left, including the four-horse team hitched to the wagon.
Damn those Americans!
Order, sir.
Get a group of men together and retrieve those horses. Look around town. See if there are enough horses to mount a few guards to go with the wagon. I want it moved to my headquarters immediately, where the gold and the prisoners can be made secure. The rest of us can catch up later. Take a few men and search for those two Americans. I know they won't have gotten very far on tired horses.
The Americans caught us by surprise. If they try anything else, we'll be ready for them.
Be prepared at all times. There's no telling where or when they'll show up next.
It was as if Matt and Sam had vanished into the Mexican countryside. The small search party wound up going in circles. They found the trail of what was left of Whaley's gang, but quickly lost all trace of Matt and Sam.
I've heard lots of white folks say that no Indian can be found unless he wants to be found.
In the distance, the tired search party seemed to be wandering aimlessly.
I guess your father taught us well about how to disappear into the country.
He taught us many things. Like all great men, he probably taught us more than he, or we, realized at the time.
Those soldiers don't realize how close they are to death, if we chose to slip up on them with killing in mind.
Letting them chase their own tails for a while is good enough. They'll give up the search for now. Delgado will want to make sure the gold is safe before he goes after us or Whaley again. So I suggest we go after the gold.
If we can get the prison wagon, we'd also have at least some of the Whaley gang as well.
Exactly.
In the distance, the search party looking for Sam and Matt were moving out again, in the wrong direction.
They'll be busy for a while. Let's find the wagon.
The prison wagon was moving slowly. The driver, a large man with a small mustache, was in no hurry. He had gulped a few drinks at the cantina before taking his seat and was now feeling relaxed. When he got home, his wife and 7 kids would be waiting for him. All things considered, he liked where he was just fine and wasn't pushing any harder than necessary to keep Delgado happy. A guard with a shotgun was sitting next to him on the high seat. 3 other men rode in a wide circle around the wagon, one on each side and one to the rear. It was fewer guards than might normally be assigned for such a job, but most of the horses that had escaped from the corral were still missing, and Delgado didn't want to delay the move any longer. It was a calculated risk, though he figured even these few men could even fight off what was left of Whaley's gang, much less the 2 Americans. Matt and Sam followed the wagon at a safe distance, stirring up almost no dust. They determined that the guards were not communicating among themselves. They rode alone, sometimes barely within sight of each other. This would make it easier for Matt and Sam.
I'll take the ones on the rear and the right. You take the ones on the left and on the wagon.
Matt nodded and silently nudged his horse forward. Sam turned his horse toward his man.
Eh?
Too late, the soldier sensed something behind him. He turned his head just as Matt vaulted out of his saddle, grabbing the soldier by the neck. The 2 fell to the ground, Matt on top. Matt's right fist lashed out twice, and the soldier lay still. He put on the soldier's hat and jacket and mounted the soldier's horse. The disguise would only work from a distance, but that was all Matt needed at the moment. As Sam approached his man, the soldier's horse stumbled. He dismounted to check the animal's leg. As he bent over, the horse's hoof in his hand, Sam stealthily edged close and tapped him on the shoulder. Startled, the soldier whirled around, right into Sam's closed fist. The soldier's eyes glazed over and he fell, face first, into the dirt. Sam also put on the Mexican's hat and jacket and took over his horse.
Here!
Both incidents had just taken seconds, leaving 2 more guards to eliminate. Sam wasted no time, but spurred his borrowed horse toward the 3rd rider. That soldier was smoking a cigarette when he heard the hoofbeats behind him. He turned, expecting to see his fellow soldier. When he saw the American riding toward him, he tried to pull his gun, but he was too slow. Matt rammed his horse into the 3rd rider, jumping out of the saddle at the last second, landing on his feet. The impact knocked both horses to the ground. In seconds, Sam had covered the ground and knocked the rider unconscious with a left hook. Sam glanced toward the prison wagon and saw Matt moving toward the seated guard and driver. Matt's borrowed horse wasn't as well trained as his own and made more noise as it approached. The big guard turned to see Matt racing toward him and raised his shotgun. Matt paced the wagon and pushed the gun to one side, the buckshot grazing the rear of one of the horses and startling it. The team started running. The guard tried to aim the gun a second time, but his aim was again off, and the shot went harmlessly into the air. Matt and Sam each slid off their horses into the driver's seat at the same time. Matt grappled with the guard, pitting strength against strength for control of the gun. The faces of the 2 men were just inches from each other. Though the guard was larger, Matt was the more powerful of the 2. Matt finally forced the other man slowly to his knees. Jerking the gun from his hands, Matt brought the heavy barrel down on the guard's head, sending him sprawling to the floor. Sam placed his arm around the driver's neck, cutting off his wind. The driver clutched at his throat with one hand while trying to hold on to the reins with his other hand. Matt plucked the reins from the driver and expertly slowed and then stopped the prison wagon.
Whoa! Hold up, boys. Whoa!
Hey, what's going on? Is that you, Whaley? Are you rescuing us?
Matt leaned over the seat so that his head could be seen almost upside down through the side window.
Good news and bad news, guys. Good news for you is that we're rescuing you from Delgado's men. Bad news is that we're bringing you back across the river to face justice in the States.
Go to hell.
Is that gratitude for you or what?
Maybe you could stop gabbing and get up here to help me tie these 2. Then we can get this rig going in the right direction. North, for the border.
Matt held the reins to the prison wagon as it moved slowly across the rough landscape. Sam held a shotgun on the seat beside him, scanning the horizon for the enemy. Tied up at their feet were the two Mexicans who had been driving the wagon. Guns and ammunition captured from the Whaley gang members and the Mexicans were in a box behind the seat.
I don't like this. We're making damn slow progress.
Yeah, the border's still a long ways off. We could get a little more speed out of these horses, but as heavy as this wagon is, I think they'd tire before we got to the Rio Grande. I'm hoping our luck holds out a little longer and we don't have any company.
The sun was starting to set. It gave the western sky a reddish tint and cast streaked shadows across the ground.
We could always lighten the load a little.
Which would you prefer? We could lose the members of Whaley's gang that are back there, but then how could we show our faces in Texas again? Josiah would kick us out of the Rangers for not bringing back our men.
We gave up being Rangers when we crossed the border.
Details, merely details. Josiah would still be mad as a hornet, and I'd rather avoid that.
Good point. We could also abandon the gold by the side of the road.
Then we'd have the entire United States government on our backs.
It could be anyway. I suspect we violated a dozen international laws already. Last we saw Holtz and Easton, they were pretty upset.
Better them than Josiah.
So what's your suggestion?
We could let the Mexican prisoners go.
Sam nudged one of the tied-up men who gave him a dirty look.
But I still think they're better off, where we can keep an eye on them. We'll let them go before we cross the river.
Or maybe we could keep them and try for a new record in violating international laws. Wonder what illegality that would be classified as.
Wonder what the record is. We might have a chance after all.
The two had been in tight spots before, but never one quite like this. They were in a foreign country with a wagon full of gold and prisoners taken from the Mexican government, while they were also being chased by the Federales, with no place to run. The best hope might be the night. The darkness could help to hide them. This area did not have many people living in it, and the border was only a few miles away.
How are we doing?
Horses are tired. Should make it. Maybe we'll get lucky.
Sam raised the shotgun and pointed it toward the southwest.
No such luck this time. We have some visitors. Looks like maybe a dozen riders coming this way.
Dingo Whaley was so mad he could chew nails. He had already punched holes in the cabin walls with his bare fists and torn the door off its hinges.
Damn those lying, good-for-nothing, cheating, stealing, shit-eating bastards! And damn that Delgado for turning on us like that! And especially for taking the gold. I never should have let Jessup tuck me into this scheme. It never pays to have partners that you can't control.
Well, what's the plan, boss? I hate to lose these men, even Jessup. They're all a cut above Murdoch. He got what he deserved. But these men are all loyal to you.
Who cares? I want the gold! I want to kill Delgado, tear off his legs and feed him to the dogs and watch him scream. And I want to kill anybody who gets in my way.
Pierce was not about to disagree with Whaley on even a minor point.
So, we go after the gold?
How many men we have left?
I figure 7. Not enough to take on an army.
But enough to take on a prison wagon.
Yeah. They put the gold in there. And to think we helped them move it.
Whaley glared at Pierce.
7 men should do it, if there aren't too many guarding it.
Have the men saddle up. We're going after our gold.
Delgado sat on his horse and watched the prison wagon making its slow progress in the wrong direction. He knew that something had gone wrong. He had a gut feeling that something was two men named Matthew Bodine and Sam Two Wolves. They had eluded him and his men since they had crossed the river, and he had unsuccessfully tried to arrest them. This made him very angry. If Matt and Sam had taken control of the prison wagon, that would mean they were very dangerous indeed, since they would have had to overcome all the guards. Delgado was tempted to just let those two have the prisoners and go home, just to get rid of them. Unfortunately, the gold was also in the wagon, and that made him even angrier. He could not let that pass. Delgado decided to send in some of his men to investigate, but he decided to approach cautiously. He would remain a safe distance away to join his men if needed.
Sergeant, take a party of men and find out what's going on with that wagon. Don't let it continue toward the river under any circumstances. Bring it back to me.
Yes, sir.
Be careful. Those two Americans, Bodine and Two Wolves, may be involved. If so, they will be dangerous.
Do you want me to bring them to you as well?
I doubt you'd have the chance to take them alive. If you see them, kill them on the spot, if you can. I'll give a bonus to each man whose bullet marks their bodies. Kill the prisoners too, if you want, though there will be no bonus for them. These Americans have all become more trouble than they're worth. All I'm interested in now is the gold.
Matt kept a firm grip on the reins.
Who do you figure?
In that direction, I figure it's Delgado's men.
Looks like we'll have to fight our way out of this one.
Not necessarily. Maybe we can outsmart them. They're still too far away to see us clearly. Stop the wagon.
Sam climbed down and banged on the bars on the side of the wagon, getting the attention of the three prisoners inside. Jessup looked out at him.
Think you could make this ride a little rougher?
Oh, you ought to be glad you're heading for an American prison instead of a Mexican one. You need to keep that in mind, because we're getting some visitors. Delgado's men. Maybe some of the same ones that turned on you and imprisoned you.
I'd like to get a shot at them.
We're going to try something, but you boys need to keep quiet. If you don't, you'll be back in the hands of Delgado.
Give us guns. You may need our help.
We'll handle it. You just keep quiet.
Sam climbed back beside Matt, reached down, and pulled the gag from the mouths of the two tied up men. He held his revolver with his other hand just inches from the Mexican's face.
Here's the deal. I know you can understand me. You two take your positions. Matt and I will be down here, with our guns aimed straight at your balls. You tell a good story, and you'll keep your family jewels. Screw up even a little, and your women will be looking elsewhere for their pleasure. You savvy?
The driver, a wide-bodied man with a thin mustache, nodded energetically. The guard, a tall and muscular man, nodded.
Oh, yes.
Sam untied them. He removed the shells from the shotgun and handed it to the guard. They took their places while Sam and Matt crouched on the floorboard. It was a tight squeeze, but it wouldn't be as tight as a Mexican prison cell or a plot 6 feet in the ground.
Continue driving. Move it!
This is your plan?
You got a better one?
Not at the moment.
Then don't complain.
The wagon seemed to move even slower. It took minutes for Delgado's men to reach the wagon, though it seemed like hours to Matt and Sam.
Hey, Carlos! What's going on here?
Oh, on our way with the prisoner, Sergeant. I am very, very happy to be going home.
But Carlos, you seem to be going in the wrong direction.
No. I am going. Aren't we going back to the Comandante's headquarters, Hector?
The guard leaned over slightly.
Carlos has been celebrating a little early. He's a little confused.
Understandable, but inexcusable. Not with what you have at stake here.
Both men shrugged in response. The rider, suspicious, kicked his horse around the side of the wagon. It was getting dark enough that Matt and Sam figured they probably would not be seen unless he looked specifically for them. So far, he didn't seem to suspect that they were there. He was, however, acting as if he sensed something wrong. He looked the wagon over from a safe distance, then rode in closer, leaning down to get a closer look through the bars. Jessup and the other two prisoners stared at him blankly, but said nothing.
Where are the other guards?
Sam shifted again, nudging him with his gun. Matt and Sam looked at each other. Neither said a word, but the two had fought together for so long that both knew what the other was thinking. Using subtle hand gestures, the two agreed on their plan of action without having to use a single word.
Well, will you care for a drink?
The sergeant directed his horse to the front of the wagon to join the other men.
Step down, both of you. I don't know what's going on, but I intend to find out.
Almost as one, Sam and Matt exploded from their hiding places. Sam picked up the driver, and Matt picked up the guard from the seats and hurled them from the wagon. The surprised sergeant had no time to react as he saw the two bodies come rushing at him. The driver hit first, knocking him from his horse. The guard flew over both of them, hitting the sergeant's horse. The horse reared up, spooking the other horses. The scene was chaos as men found themselves on the ground, tangled in their gear, while the horses tried to run away. Sam took advantage of the confusion. He grabbed the reins. The horses took off immediately in a cloud of dust. Matt fired a series of shots, sending the rest of the soldiers diving to the ground, looking for cover.
What's the plan now?
Drive like hell and hope we make it.
Sam was also an accomplished driver and kept a heavy prison wagon on course. He coaxed an amazing amount of speed from the four-horse team. From their position on top of the wagon, the passing country seemed to be a blur, and it was almost impossible for Matt and Sam to keep their seats. They still managed to hold on as if they were glued to the wagon. Delgado's men continued to take potshots at them, but they were too far away for the bullets to even get close. A mile passed, then another mile. Finally, the Mexican soldiers started to fall back, and Sam slowed the wagon a little.
Think we lost them?
In this rig, not a chance.
Yeah, I agree. So what's the deal? Why aren't they still coming at us?
Maybe they took a lunch break.
Wishful thinking. I could use a break. Feels like I haven't slept for days.
That sounds about right. Between that and being thumped in the head, I feel like death warmed over. I've been in worse shape.
Yeah, we both have. It won't be long now before we reach the river. We can get some rest after this is all over.
A lot can still happen. I think Delgado is up to something. Let's keep our eyes open.
Josiah Finch woke up in a strange bed, smelling carbolic acid. He raised up, felt the pain in his shoulder, and gave thanks that it hadn't been his gun hand. A ranger that couldn't shoot would be virtually worthless, and he wasn't ready to retire. He used his free hand to feel his shoulder and noted the smooth bandages.
Well, Josiah, you messed up this time. Letting yourself get bamboozled that way? Not much of an example I set for myself. Didn't even take out the attacker before I let myself get knocked out. Damn.
Some say talking to yourself is not a good sign. Of course, that way you're always guaranteed a good conversation.
Just my luck. I wake up to some smartass.
Dr. Stanford smiled.
Smartass is my bedside manner, but only for a select few patients.
And I'm the lucky one.
Considering what I had to dig out of you and considering the blow you received, I'd say you are one hell of a lucky man. I figured you'd be out for a lot longer. Certainly not acting so perky as this. I promised your two friends to stick around until you regained consciousness. I guess now I can go for a cup of coffee.
Matt and Sam? They brought me here? I'll have to talk with those boys about being Texas Rangers. They should have been after those yahoos that rode into town.
Maybe they're Rangers, but first of all, they're men. Good men who value their friends.
Hell, I know that. And I know that the gang won't get away from them, like lots of others I know.
Finch raised up in bed.
Where in the blazes are my clothes?
I had to cut your shirt off since the wood in your shoulder pushed some of the material into the wound. It was soaked in blood.
Then find me another, pronto. I'm going to help those boys. If I know them, they're already in Mexico and who knows what kind of mess.
In my professional opinion, you should stay in bed for at least another 3 days.
Thanks for your concern, Doc, but I've crossed 100 miles of desert with a bullet in my lung and climbed half a mountain with an infection in my leg. A little splinter isn't going to slow me down.
I'll get you some clothes.
Delgado watched the prison wagon race toward the horizon. This was becoming an annoying routine, watching that damn prison wagon going where it wasn't supposed to go. When he finally caught up with Bodine and Two Wolves, he would personally supervise their execution. They had caused him more problems than the entire U.S. Army and the Texas Rangers combined, and he was tired of it.
Sergeant, take a group of men and circle around. I want that wagon cut off from the front while we come up the rear. You let them get away once. Do not let them get to the river. If you fail this time, you will be the one to suffer.
Yes, sir.
We'll put them in a stranglehold from which they cannot escape. Take your best men. Do whatever it takes to stop them. I want the gold. And I want those two Americans dead.
Matt was the first to notice the group of riders in the distance in front of them.
There's the answer to the mystery. Delgado had his men circle around, blocking us from the river.
They're still out of firing range. We've got a few minutes. Options?
Can't turn back. Our only hope is to get to the river. The team is too tired to circle around them, even if we have the time. They'd still be able to catch up to us. Looks like we'll have to try and plow through.
I was afraid you'd say that. I know how you admire a well-thought-out, sophisticated, and subtle plan.
Are you complaining?
Hell no! I came up with the same plan. Great minds think alike.
These horses have any go left in them?
I've been trying to save them as much as possible these past few miles, I'm afraid they're about played out. I might get a little more out of them. It won't be much.
Matt leaned back in the lurching seat, reloaded his revolver and his rifle.
They're just sitting there waiting for us. They haven't moved a bit. They're like vultures waiting for us to die.
There's others behind us, moving in on us. They're trying to surround us.
When they get in range, I'm going to get these critters to move as fast as they can. You do your best to hang on and shoot straight. Maybe you can cause them some problems.
Somebody from the group behind them fired a rifle. It was a lucky shot hitting the back of the wagon, though they were so far away that the bullet had no force left.
Good thing they don't have buffalo rifles like Whaley's gang does. If they did, we could be in... That's it. That could be the answer to our problem.
Matt climbed behind the seat, lifted the top of the compartment holding the captured weapons of the Whaley gang, including a well-maintained buffalo gun and a supply of shells.
Woo! Brother, we're in business!
Josiah Finch had exaggerated his story somewhat, but it had gotten him out of the doctor's office. Riding over the rough terrain did hurt his shoulder and back, but he gritted his teeth and ignored the pain. When he arrived at the river, Leeds had his men ready for action, though he remained on the American side of the border. Leeds smiled broadly.
Josiah! Matt and Sam said you were hurt. What are you doing out here?
Just a scratch. I'm not gonna let a little thing like that keep me out of the fight. I feel kind of responsible for this. If it hadn't been for my plan, none of this might have happened.
It was a gamble. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. If you hadn't flushed the outlaws out, they would have eventually done even more damage. As far as I'm concerned, you've done a fine job.
What's going on now?
Matt and Sam crossed the border. I have faith in those two. I'm positive they're going to return with the gold, the prisoners, or both. So I'm sticking around in case they need my help.
I'm going over. Those boys can take care of themselves, but an extra gun never hurts.
Holtz and Easton won't like it.
Do I look like I'm asking permission? If they don't like it, they can try and have my badge when I get back. Yeah!
Finch raced his horse to the river and then to the south. He didn't have to go very far before he saw the Mexican soldiers stretched out in a line, their backs to him. In the distance, a prison wagon was hurrying toward them in a large cloud of dust.
If that's not Matt and Sam, I'll eat my hat. I'd like to hear this story. Well, I'll just make it a little easier for him.
He pulled his gun, yelled a loud Indian cry that Sam had once taught him, and pushed toward the soldiers. The first one turned and was knocked out of his saddle by a well-timed punch as the ranger passed. A second soldier shot, but Finch's gun was more accurate. Matt's buffalo gun roared, and a third soldier clutched his stomach as blood flowed in an uneven pattern, soaking the dirty uniform. Josiah fired his gun twice more at the soldiers that had suddenly broken rank and were almost in a panic. The prison wagon was moving quickly toward the soldiers. Matt had the buffalo gun loaded and sighted.
They're still almost out of range. If you can hit anything from this bouncing outfit, I'll buy you a round at Rosie's.
Make it two rounds.
It's a deal.
He sighted the gun when he noted another figure approaching from behind the soldiers.
I'll be damned. Do you see what I see?
Could only be one man. But didn't we leave Josiah unconscious in a doctor's office?
Josiah knocked one rider off his horse and fired a shot, taking out another soldier.
It's a good start. Let's see how many we can add to the score.
I'll be damned.
Between the buffalo gun and the ranger, the Mexican soldiers were in chaos. Matt pulled his regular rifle. The soldier still on horseback moved to one side and let the prison wagon pass. Sam slowed the wagon and Josiah came up beside them.
Thought I might find you boys down here. Looks like you've done all right for yourselves.
We've got the gold as well as some of the Whaley gang. We haven't gotten Whaley yet, but his time will come.
What about you? Here you are out and about, and we were actually worried about you.
I appreciate the thought, boys, and I appreciate your help. In the meantime, you'll have some help waiting for you at the river. Leeds and his men ready to back you up as soon as you get on the American side.
That's good news. Maybe if Delgado leaves us alone for a while, we can actually make it home.
The river was now very close. The smell of water was in the air.
Almost there. Another few minutes is all we need.
Damn!
From the south, Matt spotted another cloud of dust.
Looks like this time it's Dingo Whaley himself.
Here we go again. Hold on. We're heading for the border.
The river was within sight. Though the team was tired, Sam continued to bring out the best in them as they rushed toward the water. Whaley's gang was more bold than Delgado's men had been and were riding so close that Matt could almost touch them. They were wearing masks. The buffalo guns were not practical at such short range. Instead, Matt crouched on top of the wagon, firing both guns at the attackers. Their bullets buried themselves in the wood of the wagon. Matt glanced toward the front of the wagon and noticed a long line of soldiers across the river. Colonel Leeds and his soldiers were waiting for them, just as Finch had said. The heavy wagon lurched as the wheels hit the river. It could have stuck in the mud in the bottom of the river, and would have, if not for Sam's talent at driving. Yeah! Yeah! He had enough momentum going that even though the vehicle paused dangerously for a second, the animals did not stop, but kept on as fast as they could go, providing enough force to keep the wagon moving. The American soldiers moved to one side to allow the wagon to move onto U.S. soil. As the wheels bit into the soft riverbank, the feet of one of the horses slipped. The pause was enough that one of the wheels started to sink. Behind the wagon, Whaley's men continued to shoot. The soldiers fired back, sending the outlaws scurrying for cover in the scrub grass and mesquite.
Yeah! Yeah! Come on! We're here for crying out loud!
Sam kept a firm grip on the reins, trying to push them past the point of endurance. They gave it their best effort, and the wagon started to give again. The wagon moved, then suddenly lurched free with such force that it tilted.
Move! Move! Move!
No, 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 no!
As if in slow motion, the wagon started to turn over. Matt and Sam leaped for safety. As Sam hit the ground, he fired a single shot at the lock, blowing the metal apart. The door flew open, and the prisoners also leaped to safety.
Move! Move! Out of the way!
The wagon tottered and fell the remaining several feet. Pieces of wood and metal for a dozen feet in all directions, sending up clouds of dust. The open door bent at an awkward angle onto itself. The three prisoners tried to run away, but were stopped at gunpoint by American soldiers. The wagon was on American soil. Holtz and Easton had watched the action along with Leeds. When the wagon crashed, the two diplomats were among the first to arrive at the scene.
Matt! Sam! Are you all right?
We're fine. Just got some unfinished business to take care of.
You surely don't mean...
Finch rode up, leading two horses.
Here they are, boys. Let's get going.
Holtz stepped between the men and the river.
After all you've gone through, do you mean to say you're actually going to cross it? Oh!
Holtz crumbled. Sam caught the body as it fell. On the other side of the water, Whaley's gun was still smoking. He saw he had hit the wrong person and ran in the opposite direction. Sam placed Holtz gently on the ground.
You bet we're crossing the river.
Damn. Shit.
In the confusion, Tom had lost sight of the others. He was almost out of ammunition and he was tired. Everything was lost. There was no gold. The Whaley gang was gone, and with it, the chance of any future riches. If he returned to the States, he would face jail or worse. His chances in Mexico were not much better. And to make matters worse, he had lost his horse in the fight. He was walking aimlessly in the hot sun when he looked up to see the ranger, Josiah Finch, coming at him. From the other direction came another rider. Ben was closer and arrived first. He reached down and picked up the other outlaw.
Stop! You're both under arrest!
Ben rolled out of the saddle, taking with him the saddlebags with the last of the dynamite. Tom followed Ben's lead. Both tried to hide in small hollows in the ground. Finch also dismounted and hit the ground.
I'm not going back. You'll have to kill me first. I've seen the last of a jail cell.
Don't make it worse on yourselves. You all weren't part of the original Whaley gang. You didn't take part in the worst of the crimes. You all won't be hanged. There's no reason for you to die now.
Tom answered with two shots from his revolver. From another direction, Sam returned the fire. The two men had the outlaws pinned down. There was no way they could escape.
This is it. The end of the line.
Not necessarily. I still have this.
He held up the final sticks of dynamite.
Still enough to blow them sky high.
I have to apologize for all the bad things I thought about you.
Ben lit the fuse and tossed the explosives toward Finch.
Damn, I hate dynamite.
Finch stood, fearlessly, and shot at the explosive package sailing toward him. Sam also shot, hit it as easily as if he were shooting tin cans. The dynamite hit the ground a safe distance away. The outlaws jumped and shot again at the Rangers and ex-Rangers, using the smoke from the dynamite as cover. It wasn't cover enough, as the bullet from Finch's gun hit Ben in the gut, doubling him over with pain, and the bullet from Sam's gun hit Tom in the head, just above the right eye. Each man fell without firing another shot. Whaley couldn't believe his eyes. Two wolves and Bodine had actually done it. They had brought the prison wagon with the gold and his men back across the river and into the custody of the Americans. And now they were coming back to him. Whaley decided to let his men that were still alive take care of themselves. He grabbed his horse, tried to step into the saddle, but was stopped by strong arms throwing him to the ground. He rolled and came up ready to fight.
Why you?
Matthew Bodine was just feet away, looking him straight in the eye.
By all rights, Josiah should have the pleasure taking you in. But I reckon I can do the job. He can enjoy your hanging.
You're a fool, Bodine. Look at you. You're exhausted. You got a knot on your head the size of a goose egg. You can't beat me. Just let me go. We'll call it even. Otherwise, I have to kill you.
I'm still more man than you'll ever be. Let's see you try me if you think you're man enough.
Whaley was big, strong, and fast. He moved in and hit Matt with three punches before he could react. And Whaley was right about Matt being tired. He had gone for too long without sleep and his head was throbbing. He didn't need any more punishment, and the blows from Whaley's massive fist sent shudders through his body. Matt, however, was young and strong and had years of training behind him. He hit Whaley with a strong punch to the stomach and felt like he was hitting iron. Another punch to the chin had better results. It caused the bigger man to pause for a second. Matt took the opportunity to deliver a series of right and left jabs to the face, opening a cut above Whaley's eye. Angry and in pain, Whaley lost control as he charged Matt. This was what Matt was looking for. At the last second, Matt sidestepped the charge, grabbed Whaley's hair, and pulled him off balance. Matt forced Whaley's face into the ground with a bone-jarring crunch. Blood now streamed down Whaley's face, and blood came from the outlaw's broken nose. Still, the outlaw came back for more, delivering a solid kick, almost breaking Matt's kneecap. Matt pivoted and came down with two closed fists on the back of Whaley's neck. The blow might have broken a normal person's neck, but Whaley was stronger than most. He jumped up, tried to get Matt in a bear hug. Again, Matt sidestepped, delivering a backhanded blow as he slipped away. Whaley stepped back.
You're a hard man to beat, but it's time to end this nonsense.
His hands dropped to his holster. That was Whaley's final mistake. Matt also reached for his gun in a movement so fast that it was almost a blur. Gutshot, Whaley still wouldn't go down. Matt helped him along. Sam and Josiah joined Matt as he stood over Whaley's body. Sam and Matt each grabbed one of the outlaw's arms and dragged him across the river, dumping him on the ground in front of Leeds and Easton, near where Holtz's body also rested. Only one or two of the former Whaley gang was still living. The ones that were wounded walked slowly across the river to surrender to the American soldiers. Matt and Sam went back and dragged the other bodies to the American side.
I think this just about takes care of it. You have the gold. You have all the members of the Dingo Whaley gang.
I suppose there's also the matter of charges that could be pressed against us for breaking the laws of two countries.
No. Considering the circumstances, I'd say you two are in the clear. I might even be able to wrangle some kind of award for you two and Josiah for bringing these cutthroats to justice.
Nothing like that for us.
Not for me either. Not if it means putting on a suit and attending another one of those dinners.
The Texas countryside was finally quiet. Leeds pointed one more time to Mexico and to one lone figure riding up to the water's edge.
So, Colonel Leeds, you win this one.
We have the prisoners.
We have the gold. We have you dead to rights. We know you had a hand in that gold robbery. We know how you protected Whaley's gang.
I might point out that you have no proof of my involvement. And as for protection, I had Whaley's gang under arrest and confiscated the gold. Who is to say that I wasn't trying to safeguard the gold for its eventual safe return to your government? No, Colonel, you have nothing on me. In fact, I believe I will file a complaint.
It won't do you any good this time. You can bluster all you want.
Yes, I know. Still, one does what he can.
There'll be some changes coming. When I get back to Washington, I'll see to that.
I'm sure there will. But we'll cross that river when we come to it. Good day, gentlemen. I'm sure our paths will cross again.
Matt and Sam stood looking at the Rio Grande, holding the reins of their horses. Mexico was on the other side, though it had the same scrub grass and mesquite as the Texas side of the river. The wreck of the prison wagon was still on U.S. soil where it had landed. The sun had already started to bleach it white.
So much trouble, so much bloodshed, because of this border.
Not just the border. It's the same old story. Greed, gold, power. Doesn't make any difference which side of the river you're on. Men are still men, no matter the nationality.
We've seen it before. I'm sure we'll see it again.
But we'll handle it, brother. You can count on it.
The two men turned and led the horses toward the camp, where Josiah Finch was talking with Colonel Leeds. His soldiers were relaxing around the camp. Matt and Sam poured coffee into cups and sat around the fire with their two friends.
All in all, you boys can be proud. You got the gold back. You broke the Dingo Whaley gang, killing them or bringing them to justice.
Fine Ranger material. Matt, Sam, I wish you all would reconsider your decision to quit the Rangers. We need more men like you.
We appreciate the offer. But we just can't be tied down now. Our wandering days are far from over.
Lots of country we still want to see, or see again. We'll be back in Texas. You can be sure of that. And if you ever need help, just get word to us. No matter where we're at, we'll find a way to help you.
There's also the matter of us working for somebody else, even the government. It's one thing working with you, Josiah. You don't try to keep us reined in. You let us do the job. There's no guarantee that'd continue. We'd just as soon keep our freedom.
Yeah, I can understand that. If I were in your position, I might do the same thing. There's no guarantee I'll even stay with the Rangers.
Oh, Josiah, you were just about born a Ranger, and will die a Ranger. We know you're already itching to check out that new gang working further south. I'm surprised you're even still here.
You never know. I might just decide to get into politics and follow Leeds to Washington. Think I'd fit in up there?
Matt and Sam laughed at the image of Josiah Finch unleashed on the Washington establishment.
You and your boys just about caused an international incident as it was. I'd say even that worked out. Once Easton finally got a handle on the situation, it turned out well. I was surprised that he had some contacts up there after all. I'll be starting my new position in a few weeks.
Better you than Josiah.
It'll work out well in another way as well. Rosie is thrilled. And even better, Mary has agreed to join us to help put together those parties we'll be required to give. It'll be a good move for everybody.
Well, Sam, at least you'll have one friend in Washington.
Remember, you really do have a friend in Washington. I know you boys don't play politics like lots of people do. But if I can ever be of any help...
We'll remember. We've learned never to say never. And don't hesitate to call on us. We'll be glad to help. As long as we can stay out here in the wide open spaces where we belong.
Where are you headed for now, boys?
May head north.
Or further west.
Whichever way the wind blows.
Leeds stood.
Thanks for the coffee, Josiah. My men and I are headed back to Fort Concho. Thanks again, Matt and Sam, for your help.
The wind blew softly across the river as Leeds and his men mounted up and then rode away. The dust rising behind them clouded the sun. Josiah Finch helped Matt and Sam break camp and shook hands one final time. All three mounted and started to ride when Finch suddenly stopped his horse and called back.
Matt! Sam!
He raced back toward the two blood brothers who had hurried to meet him.
What is it, Josiah?
Something important I need to tell you.
What is it?
This time, will you boys please try and stay out of mischief?
Matt and Sam watched their friend until he was out of sight, and then until even his dust had vanished.
Josiah Finch may be small, but he's more of a man than most of us could ever hope to be.
True. But one thing I'm not sure I like about him.
What's that?
He gives advice that's damn difficult to follow. Imagine you staying out of trouble. If not for me, I hate to think where you'd wind up.
Me? That's funny. Hell, I've lost track of the times I've had to pull you out of the frying pan.
Into the fire.
Which reminds me, whose turn is it to cook this time?
Matt and Sam rode past the remains of the prison wagon toward the new adventures waiting for them down the road.
Blood Bond, San Angelo Showdown is a graphic audio production. Copyright 1991, William W. Johnstone. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Thomas Penny, Dylan Lynch, James Lewis, David Coyne, Andy Clements, Tim Carlin, Elliot Dash, Christopher Graybill, Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, James Konacek, Ken Jackson, M.B. Van Dorn, Eric Messner, and Mort Shelby. Directed by Nanette Savard. Book adapted for graphic audio by Casey Jones. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton. Additional original music by Brian Patton, Greg Reinfeld, and Johann Detweiler. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Blood Bond, be sure to look for the Eagles series, available at Road Stops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net. Read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com.
Captain Harris Serrano, scion of a long and illustrious line of officers, has been forced to resign in disgrace from Spacefleet. Her new assignment, civilian captain of the luxury yacht, Sweet Delight.
Tell us about your new captain. Why you choose such a Spacefleet officer?
I thought an officer from the regular space service would know how to maintain discipline and follow my orders.
Captain, I'd like to speak to you.
Don't you ever come on my bridge again, mister.
But I want to apologize.
You can apologize to my crew for nearly getting us all killed. And then you can go away and not come back.
Captain!
What is it?
Computer says dangerous chemical. Sulfur something. Someone was there but isn't moving.
Get those backups down here. Make sure they have their helmets locked on. I'm going in.
Damn military arrogance. She hit me. The owner's family. Just you wait. I'll get even with her. Bandon Field. Permission to land and refuel. Number 002413. We're low on fuel, Bandon Field.
Permission denied.
Look out!
Captain Serrano, how nice to have you aboard.
Don't miss the launch of Graphic Audio's gripping new space adventure, The Serrano Legacy, Book 1, Part 1, Hunting Party.
If you can't find that hot Graphic Audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.